I was chatting with some guy, and I left it up on the computer, and I fell asleep. And the next day, my parents were like, "What is this?" Because normally I was really good about like clearing the history and everything like that. And I was like, "Oh well, now you know. Yay, I didn't have to do it."
I remember my mom. So was this middle school? My mom asked us like in the car, my brother and sister, my brother and me, "Do you know what like straight is?" I was like, "Yeah, not zigzag." And she's like, "No." And so that's how I learned the word straight.
Welcome to The Zoo, a podcast miniseries about online dating. I'm Sophie Nikitas. This week, we have two different stories. These people talk to me separately. They don't know each other. One is a man living in the Midwest, and the other is a woman currently on the East Coast. But they have a few things in common, which is why I wanted to weave their stories together. Here they are.
I was an out when I was younger, like until I was probably 16 or 17.
There was no one that came out as gay, except for the Italian teacher. There was definitely flamboyant people. Oh, there was one kid who was bi. Oh, and so that was interesting. My best friend's mother said in the car once, "No one's actually bisexual. They're just trying to figure it out until they're either gay or straight." Wait, people are bisexual. I might be bisexual.
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. Went to a Catholic all-boys school and grew up in a Protestant, pretty conservative family. So being out really wasn't an option.
I grew up in New Jersey where there's like a lot of Italian Americans. So I see these Italian American moms who like love gossiping with their daughters, like who's cute, who's not, and like what kind of boy you need to find. And like even like my mom's friends are like, "You know, this is the type of husband you need to find." You know, like always giving advice about like marriage and stuff. And like my mother, thankfully, has never done that. But with that caveat, I did ask my mom how to use a tampon. Like I've never asked my mom like female stuff.
I used to be a good little Christian boy.
So I was raised Catholic. I got really involved in my Presbyterian youth group, not my Catholic church. My close friend group was another Catholic who went to the same church as me, my Presbyterian friend, a Mormon friend who loved listening to Kesha, and a Jewish friend who was culturally Jewish and had her bat mitzvah, but ended up being atheist.
I didn't have sexual health education. It was very like fire and brimstone-y church that we went to, and then Catholic school. I don't even remember talking about it. I remember he told us he wasn't going to show us the pictures because someone fainted in his last class, and so we got to skip that.
So youth group in high school was like really interesting because that's when I got exposed to evangelical culture. Like it was totally different than the Catholic experience. It was the first time I opened a Bible. We talked about gay people and how it's a sin, but we love them anyway. And then they also had this super happy couple that was saying they were like waiting till marriage or something and kind of emphasizing that, and that like when you have sex, it's like having the faith, it's God is in the middle of it, which is kind of gross if you think about it. And so that was kind of why, so there was like a lot of guilt. So the first time I like made out with a guy and like clothes on, but like realizing like what was going on, my first thought was like, what would my dad think? Which is a horrible thing to think about the first time you're making out, okay? Like there is so much guilt.
I started online dating on this network called the Gay Youth Network. And it was basically like MySpace, Facebook, but for queer youth. It would say where you're from, your age, interests, things like that. And what you could do on this website was look at forums. So they had a lot of things about like gay teen suicide, like prevention, how to have safer sex. And I had friends from all over the place. So I remember my one really good friend, we actually exchanged phone numbers. His name was Peter. He was from California, Los Angeles. And it was really funny because when we first started messaging each other, we were like you look just like me. But our photos were uncannily similar. And Peter, he just kind of became my like go-to person to ask about questions about sexuality, like trying to figure stuff out, advice, how to navigate things. When I first started dating someone, he was like one of the first people I told. So my online dating experience, I guess, has friendships that have come out of it too.
Do you have Tinder on your phone right now?
Yeah. Do you want me to grab it?
Do you want to just like open it up to women and like see what happens?
Sure. Do you already got it?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Cool.
Where is it? She looks a lot older than 23. She's like too cool. I don't know. She looks very mature.
Is she the one on the right?
Yeah, the brunette. Yeah, I do like brunettes. I don't know. I don't know when I'm supposed to swipe right or left.
Through that website is how I met my first boyfriend. Funny enough, though, I met him at, like, we met up for the first time at The Fray, a concert. It was right after I got out of church camp and I went to the Fray concert and he was there too. They're not like explicitly Christian, but listen to How to Save a Life. I'm pretty sure they are, but how it normally goes for me is you chat, blah, 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 and after a while, move it to texting. And then after texting for a while, maybe a phone call.
My coach's partner, well, she's my coach now too, Margaret, she's still Catholic. And she goes to church like every Sunday. There's definitely a niche in the Catholic community where you can be queer. It's very small. But I think that helped as well. And also, I just believe at a spiritual level, like, God loves lesbians. It's love, you know? And, like, thanks to Vatican II, God is no longer judgment. God is love. So I kind of realizing, like, in my heart, I understand that this is fine, it's not hurting anyone. It still abides to the golden rule, treat others how you'd like to be treated. So to me, spiritually, I'm really accepting of that.
Are you accepting of yourself?
So college was the first time where I was like, around a lot of out people. In college, I had a boyfriend for 2 years, and then Grindr came out while we were together. We were workout buddies before we were boyfriends. I think I pretended to like not know what I was doing for a while, so he would like take longer. I wrestled in high school, so I worked out a lot, and I just like pretended like I didn't know how to do anything. Yeah, so the transition back to online dating after that relationship ended was different because Grindr was out. And yeah, and for me, it was very weird because I'd been with this guy for like 2 years. And Grindr was, I don't know, it was very, I was afraid of it at first, like, because to me, it was explicitly corporal, nothing. Everything was physical, nothing was emotional, nothing was anything more than just sex. And that scared me a little bit. I don't know, it just scared me. I was afraid of getting HIV, afraid of contracting anything else like gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, what have you. I don't know. Every time I would message someone, that would be in the back of my head is, oh, this could be a potential infection. And it took me a while to get over that and to be okay with just physical as well. Nothing, there didn't have to be any sort of emotional attachment to it. Not saying that one-night stands can't have emotional attachment to them, but or that everyone uses Grindr for one-night stands, but for me, that's what I was using it for at the time, just because I didn't have room to have any more emotions either. So, I don't know, I was scared of it, but I wanted it at the same time, and that was really hard to deal with.
I did match with one girl, but I was too scared to message. Should we read about her?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. She's like the first to like not have a lot of words. She has two emojis.
I mean, I would hope too that all of that stigma that I carried is no longer there.
Fire and Brimstone Church that we went to.
You need deliverance!
I used to be a good little Christian boy.
Yeah, and that's, I think, evident in how I view PrEP. I don't know if you've heard about PrEP or if the listeners will have heard about PrEP, but PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. And what it does is it prevents HIV from establishing infection in your body if you are exposed. And so it's a huge game changer right now, because beforehand, the only thing that you had were condoms. And not everyone likes condoms. Not everyone uses condoms. Sometimes condoms break. So having PrEP as an option, I think just like helped shift something in my mind as to not, one, not be afraid, and also to destigmatize casual sex.
I'm a big chick flick girl. I like watching a lot of rom-coms and stuff, but they're all like mainstream blockbuster, heteronormative, like, and I'm looking at like the hot guy, right? So like, it's so weird, like, there's no outside societal force telling me who's attractive and who's not when you're looking at girls, you know? Because, like, an attractive woman is for, like, the male gaze in, like, Hollywood movies. So it's just like, well, do I find that woman attractive, you know? So your start is, like, a blank slate. I don't know what my type is. I think that's the hardest part. Like, you never saw this person sexually attractive before, and now you have to figure out why you think they're sexually attractive.
My use of online dating has pretty much, I wouldn't say progressed, but sort of just like plateaued. I'm much more casual, I guess, now about online dating, and I think for the longest time, I wanted a romantic relationship, and I wasn't finding that. And I don't know. Eventually, I just stopped wanting it.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Zoo. And thanks to the two people who shared their stories today. Do you have a story you want to share? You can email me at azoopodcast@gmail.com. Like our Facebook page, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts, and have a great day.